بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble Prophet and his household and the companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of the collection of An-Nawawi's hadith, collection, hadith number 22, عن أبي عبد الله جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أن رجلا سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: أرأيت إذ صليت المكتوبات وصمت رمضان وأحللت الحلال وحرمت الحرام ولم أزد على ذلك شيئا أدخل الجنة؟ قال: نعم. Reported by Muslim. On the authority of Abu Abdullah or Abi Abdullah, Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari, the son of Abi Abdullah al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with them both. Amen. Asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that if I perform the obligatory prayers, fast Ramadan, treat as lawful that which is lawful, and treat as forbidden that which is forbidden, and do nothing further, I shall enter paradise? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, yes. The Prophet ﷺ responded, yes. Here Jabir says that amen, asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this man, we don't need to know his name, because what is intended is the occurrence itself, and therefore we don't need to exert the effort searching who is this man, except or unless there is a change in the ruling that depends upon specifying who this person may be. Under such exception, then we need to find who is this man or who is this person. Here this man said, أَرَأَيْتَ, meaning tell me, O Muhammad sallallahu إذا صليت المكتوبات, if I pray the obligatory prayers, and these are the five obligatory prayers in the day and the night, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 103, إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. Verily the prayer is enjoined on the believers at fixed hours, at prescribed times. Now, other than these obligatory ones, they are not an obligation. Other than this, they are not an obligation, except if there is a cause necessitating that. Then he said, also fasting Ramadan. Ramadan is the known month. And fasting, linguistically, the term fasting means to abstain from anything. And legally, it means to abstain from taking all the mufattirat, all the, or any type of the mufattirat, the things which invalidate the fasting, from the time of Fajr, from the time of dawn, until the sun sets, as worship to Allah. Listen to this carefully. Not just a refrainment, but rather as worship. This refrainment is a worship, as an act of worship to Allah. we say ta'abbudan lillah as an act of worship to Allah, because someone may refrain from taking them due to some kind of a regime or a diet or as a medication. Therefore, this cannot be considered as siyamun shar'i, legal fasting. So therefore, it is important to restrict the definitions, the legal definitions, by the term ta'abbud, worship. By the term ta'abbud, meaning worship. Now, and then he said, so tell me, if I perform the obligatory prayers and I fast Ramadan, and then he said, وَأَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالِ, meaning I treat the lawful believing that it is lawful. This is the meaning of أَحْلَلْتُ, because making something permissible has two meanings. The first is الاعتقاد أنه حلال, believing that this lawful matter is lawful. Secondly, acting accordingly. Then he said, and treat as forbidden that which is forbidden. So I will abstain from the haram, believing that it is haram. And Nawawi rahimahullah, after he concluded this hadith, he did not restrict the avoidance of the haram due to believing that it is haram, but he said حَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ, meaning avoided the unlawful. Why we say this is, yani there is a difference here? Because avoiding the haram is good, even though the person may not believe that it is haram. However, if he believes that it is haram, then his relinquishing and avoiding the haram becomes worship, because he abandoned it because he believes that it is unlawful. For example, someone avoids drinking alcoholic intoxicants, not because they are haram on their merit, but because he doesn't like them. Here there is no sin on this person. However, if he relinquishes this, believing that it is unlawful, and that he abandons this for the sake of Allah, then he will be rewarded for this. And in the benefits, we will talk about this more inshallah. Then he said, أَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, meaning, shall I enter paradise if I do this? What is Al-Jannah? Al-Jannah is Darun Na'im, the abode of bliss, which Allah had prepared for the Muttaqeen, the pious. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. In it, there is no eye have ever seen, or have never been seen by an eye. Nor heard by an ear, nor imagined by a human. And there is abundant fruits in paradise: date palms, pomegranate, meat, water, milk, honey. The names are identical to those names which we know of in this life. However, the reality is different. Totally different. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah Al-Sajdah in 32:17, فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين. No person knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. And in the Hadith Al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ, I have prepared for my righteous slaves, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, that which have never been seen by an eye, وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, nor heard by an ear, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, or imagined by a human being. So don't think that the pomegranate that is in paradise is like the pomegranate in this life. They distinctively and totally different, because of the verse in Surah Al-Sajdah, no person knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. And had there been no difference, then we would have known of it. Had there been no difference, then we would have known of it. So after he asked the Prophet ﷺ this question, the Prophet ﷺ answered by the affirmative and he said yes. Meaning yes, you enter paradise if you come up with these actions that you described. The benefits of this hadith, first of all, this hadith tells and shows that the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with all of them, were keen to ask. Of course, asking the beneficial questions. Second, this hadith tells of the noble objectives and high aims that are with the companions. And that the noble objective and the high aim is to enter paradise. Not just amassing wealth and having abundant children, nor the vanishing enjoyment of this life. And that's why one time when one of the companions concluded a request for the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet told him, اسأل ماذا تريد, ask what you want. The companion, may Allah be pleased with him, said, أسألك مرافقتك في الجنة, I ask that I will be your companion in paradise. So he said, أو غير ذلك, other than this, he said this or that. He said then, help me on yourself بكثرة السجود, by abundant prayers. So this man did not ask about wealth or cattle or palaces or agriculture, but asked about paradise, indicating that this is the goal and the high aim they were looking for. May Allah be pleased with all of them. The third benefit, if the person concludes only the obligatory prayers, then there is no blame upon him. And he is not to be forbidden from admittance to paradise. Now, if someone says that Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said concerning the person who abandons the witr prayer, that he is a bad man, his testimony should not be accepted. So how can we understand this in light of this hadith? The answer, being a bad man does not preclude him and prevent him from being admitted to paradise. He's bad for abandoning the witr, and the least of the witr is one rak'ah, which tells that he is negligent, because he can perform the one rak'ah, not much is required from him. One is suffice, and yet he abandons it. Fourth benefit, that prayers and fasting are from the causes admitting to paradise. And it is affirmed that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that whoever fasts the month of Ramadan out of faith, of belief, and anticipating the reward from Allah, Allah will forgive him his past sins. And this hadith is in al-Bukhari. The fifth benefit, the person should not prevent himself from or treating himself with the halal. Doing so without any legally valid reason is blameworthy, not praiseworthy. The sixth benefit, what is unlawful is that which Allah decreed to be unlawful in His book or on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and treating the lawful as lawful and treating the unlawful as unlawful and avoiding it. This covers all that which is lawful and all that which is unlawful, and that's why he said, "Adkhulu al-Jannah." Shall I be admitted to paradise? The Prophet ﷺ, yes. There is a problem in this hadith. The problem is in the statement of this man when he said, "And do nothing further." Meaning, if I don't do anything more than this. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, yes, you will be admitted to paradise. Yet he did not include the pillars of Islam the pillars of Zakah and Hajj, the two pillars of Islam. And as Zakah was obligated before the fasting, and he asked about the fasting here in the hadith, but Zakah was obligated before the fasting. So it is not to be said, therefore, it may be that this hadith was before the Zakah was obligated. As to the Hajj, it is possible to say that this hadith was before the obligation of the Hajj, but we cannot say that it is before the obligation of the Zakah. So what is the answer for all of this? The answer is to say, it may be that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew from the condition of this man, annahu laysa dha mal, that he doesn't have the wealth that is required for him to suffice what is obligation as zakah. And also he may have known that if he had wealth, then he is going to give the charity. Why? Because he said, وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ, and I treat as forbidden that which is forbidden. And preventing the zakah withholding the zakah is from haram. So this will be included. As to the hajj, it is easy. So this hadith may be before the obligation of the hajj, because the hajj was obligated in the 9th or 10th year after the hijrah. Now, what about the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, in chapter 2, verse 196, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, and perform properly all the ceremonies according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ, the Hajj and the Umrah. Here this is an obligation to complete the ceremonies, to perform it completely, not to initiate it. This is one angle to the answer. The other angle to the answer is to say, again, this may be included, the fact that he didn't mention the Hajj, because it may be included in his statement, treating as forbidden that which is forbidden, because abandoning the Hajj is unlawful and forbidden. Similarly, abandoning the zakah is forbidden, and therefore they will be included in his statement, treating as forbidden that which is forbidden. Seventh benefit. The answer by yes is a repetition of the question, because he said, أَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, shall I be admitted then to paradise? Prophet ﷺ, نعم, meaning yes, you will enter paradise. So that's why now if someone was asked, أَطَلَّقْتَ امْرَأَتَكَ, did you divorce your wife? And he said yes, then she is divorced. Because his saying yes means, yes, I divorced her. And if the wali, the guardian of the woman, initiates the obligation of the contract and says to the man, زوجتك ابنتي, I will give in marriage my daughter to you, and then we ask this man, أَقَبِلْتَ, do you accept? And if he says yes, this is sufficient as an acceptance, because it means نعم, I accept. And so this covers all the places where this of this type, of the same type. Consider it as a repetition for the question. So if someone is asked, أَوْقَفْتَ بَيْتَكَ, did you render your house as an endowment? And if he says yes, then the house becomes an endowment, waqf. If someone says, did you sell your car to someone? And if he says yes, then in this case he is attesting to the selling. And again, if he says, did you render your house as an endowment? And he says yes, so the house is an endowment. At the end of this hadith, the Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah said, quote, and the meaning of حرمت الحرام, treat as unlawful that which is lawful, meaning اجتنبته, I avoided it. And then he said, أحللت الحلال, treating as lawful that which is lawful. النووي رحمه الله said, فعلته معتقدا حله, I have done it believing it is lawful. You see, there is here another meaning too, in addition to that which An-Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned, and that is to say, أن تعتقد أن الحرام حرام ولا بد, that you believe that the haram is forbidden, you believe this, that it is inevitably forbidden. Because if you don't believe that the haram, the unlawful is unlawful, then in this case you don't believe in the legislative ruling. Similarly, if you don't believe that the halal is halal, then also you don't believe in the legislative ruling. Therefore, we conclude that it is a must that you believe that the halal is halal and the haram is haram. And the explanation of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah has some deficiency to that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of hadith number 22.